Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Jonah, chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up. Yet you brought my life up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Let us pray. Our Father, we have heard wonderful things out of your word. We praise you for revealing Christ as by promise and shadow in these pages. Help us to understand these words for thy name's sake. Amen.
The New Testament lesson is from the book of Acts, chapter 2. Men of Israel, hear these words. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this, that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Shall we pray? Our Father, we have heard wonderful things out of thy word. We praise you for revealing Christ as the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and ask you to give us your Spirit so that we may understand the fullness of your truth. Amen.
The hope of resurrection. It is given us in Christ, and yet it comes only after the cross. As Christ went to the grave before he could rise from the dead, so we also must pick up our crosses daily and so die to ourselves before we attain to the final consummation of our own resurrection. Now, as we begin to approach now the time of Easter, only 3 weeks from today, it is that time of the year in which we begin to turn our minds and our hearts to the meaning of death and the meaning of resurrection. In Scripture and God's plan of salvation, and also death and resurrection in our own lives. Now, there are many passages in Scripture that speak of death and resurrection, either by type and shadow in the Old Testament or by fulfillment in Christ. So this morning we turn to one of the most interesting pictures of death and resurrection in the Old Testament, as found in the book of the prophet Jonah. Now, Israel was idolatrous during the time of Jonah, and God was giving it some more time until its idolatry would reach full measure. But then also God commands Jonah to go preach to the wicked pagans in Nineveh. The Assyrians were gathering strength to eventually take over Israel and take over the whole region of the ancient Near East. God was ready to show the Ninevites, the Assyrians even, some mercy, but Jonah could not accept that they would have a chance to repent. And so we're covering chapter 2, but as a reminder of what we read in the first chapter of the book, we read there that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, Arise, Jonah, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah, it is said, rose not to do the will of the Lord, but rose to flee to Tarshish, flee from the presence of the Lord. And so the text says that Jonah went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, and he went down on board to go with them to Tarshish and away from the presence of the Lord. But then the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. And so the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it up for them. But Jonah had gone down again into the inner part of the ship, and he had laid down and was fast asleep. And so the captain came and said to him, What do you mean, O sleeper? Arise and call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us, and we may not perish. Now the crew eventually found out that it was on Jonah's account that the storm had come over them. And so they said to him, What shall we do to you that the sea might quiet down for us? For the sea, says the text, was growing more and more tempestuous. And so he says to them, Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. And so reluctantly, they do just that. And they throw him overboard. And then we read that the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah, it is said, was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, as the text of 2 Kings chapter 14 tell us, Jonah was from a city called Gath-Hepher, which is a town just a couple of miles from Nazareth, actually, just west of the Sea of Galilee. Jonah was commissioned to go to Nineveh by God, which is around the area of present-day Mosul in Iraq. And so
Therefore, Jonah had to go inland, northeast of where he was. But as God tells him to arise and go to Nineveh, well, he gets up and he goes the exact opposite direction. He goes down to the coast area, down to the port of Joppa, which is present-day Jaffa, just south of Tel Aviv. And from there, he went to take a ship to go as far west as he could go. Now, it is not certain that where Tarshish was, but most scholars believe that he was in the south coast of Spain. And so, Job's attitude was one of being willing to go to the ends of the earth, which Spain was at the time, to go in the very opposite direction of where God told him to go. And so Jonah, with all his might and strength, with all his heart, was running away from God, just like Adam had run from God also, trying to hide from him. Jonah's rebellion is described here in the book of Jonah as this continuous descent. God told him to get up and arise and proclaim the word of the Lord to the Ninevites, but he ran the opposite direction. He goes down to Joppa. He flees from the Lord. He starts his spiritual descent in the same way that Adam did. He goes down to the port. He goes down to the ship. He goes down to the lower parts of the ship. And then he goes down into the water. And then he goes down into the belly of the fish. He couldn't go any lower than that. It is at this point that Jonah realizes that in the belly of the fish, that was the end of his journey, and that all that was left for him was his grave. Now he recognizes that the one from whom he had been running all along is the only one who could save him. It was Yahweh who sent the storm. It was Yahweh who sent the fish. Jonah could run, but Jonah could not hide from God because God is the Lord of the heavens. It was Yahweh who appointed a fish to swallow Jonah. And so the fish becomes the ultimate expression of that descent into the depths. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And therefore, he was also in the belly of Sheol. He was in a grave, as it were. But it is from there, from the depths, that Jonah cries out to God. And it is from the depths that God hears Jonah and rescues him. And so we read here in chapter 2, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple." The belly of the fish is Jonah's grave, and the heart of the seas is under the flood of death that sweeps over his head as it had once swept over the whole world. The flood waters are also the waters of baptism, where the waters and death drowns life before it brings up life renewed, eternal. And so, as out of the flood waters, Noah and his family were saved in the ark of God, his church. And as the Israelites were saved through the waters of the Red Sea, as Paul tells us, being baptized into the sea and into Moses, being baptized into Moses, into the cloud that is in Christ and the Holy Spirit. So we also are saved through death in resurrection in baptism. And so verse 5, "The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. And at the root of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever." And so what Jonah describes here is his journey into the depths of death. He was, as it were, held in a grave at the root of the mountains, that is, at the lower parts of the earth, where there are only shadows, which encircle those who have been forsaken and have been cast out of the land of the living. Jonah went down to that forsaken realm, that realm that has bars, bars that closed upon him forever, and he was locked up behind, as it were, the bars of Sheol. And so Jonah sees the very gates of hell, the gates of Sheol, that cannot be broken. And it is there that God meets him. He says, "Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. And so it is in the very depths and from the depths that Jonah remembers the Lord and calls out to the Lord, cries out for His mercy, as we read in Psalm 130, which is named traditionally De Profundis, out of the depths. Psalm 130, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen in the morning, more than watchmen in the morning, for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him there is plentiful redemption. And He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." So Jonah realized that he has sunk into the depths of the death, and he cries out for the mercy of God. Will it come in the morning? Jonah cries out, "Salvation belongs to the Lord." Salvation belongs to Yahweh, belongs to the Lord, because Yahweh is the only Savior. He is the only one who can save, because all the other gods are false gods. And He is the only Savior, because we cannot save ourselves, and Jonah cannot save himself. Outside of God, we stand in the depths of despair and of death. And when that might not be apparent outwardly, it's still the case that we might look like we live, but we're dead even as we look like we live outside of God's grace. So God bestows His salvation upon the undeserving prophet who was running away from Him. And as Jonah was about to learn, God would even be pleased to bestow salvation upon the pagan Ninevites as well. The disobedient prophets who tried to run away from God had to find God in the very depths of the grave. Now, sin is this very turning away and running from God, as Adam had done in the garden when he sinned. And when you run away from God and you sin by running away from Him, the wages of sin is death. But God meets people in death because He has sent His Son to be incarnate, crucified, and yes, to be enveloped by death in the darkness of despair, in the darkness of the grave. It was as Christ was crucified, died, and was buried, that He could say, like Jonah, "I cried out to the Lord out of my distress, and He answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and You, my Father, heard my voice. For You cast me into the deep, into the hearts of the seas." Jesus could say, "The flood surrounded me. All Your waves and Your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from Your sight. I have been given over to sinners. I have been crucified. I have been abandoned. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And yet, I shall look again upon Your holy temple." It was in the grave that God's Son destroyed death by His own death. And so He illumined Sheol with His uncreated light. And He brought us up with Him out of the depths, the very depths from which we are also crying. It is in the depths of our sins, it is in the depths of our grave, our sins, that Christ rescues us and gives us eternal life. But it is also in the depths of our daily suffering, our despair, our spiritual, emotional, and even my material struggles, It is in the depths of our lives, our daily lives, that Christ meets us there and brings us up with Him unto that morning of resurrection, that morning of the shining of the day that will never, never end. And so we are in Christ transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of that eternal light, that eternal sun that shines forever like the eternal Son of God. We are saved from our sins, but Christ also continues to meet us daily under the floods of our own despair and death and sin to give us resurrection. He continues to meet us daily there as our old man continues to be crucified and as we continue and are commanded to continue to pick up our crosses, which is to die daily to ourselves and to the world, in a sense. He continues daily to pick us up and to bring us up, to bring us up toward the other side of our own Red Sea. He continues to bring us through the flood in the ark of salvation, as with Noah, in the very ark of the church. And with Jonah, He causes also the grave and the darkness and death to spit us up and out of the belly of the fish onto the shores of God's eternal kingdom. We are daily confronted, beloved, with our contingency, our failures, our inabilities, our finite minds and hearts and our finite nature. We cannot do that what we want. We cannot rule ourselves as we want. We cannot make reality be what we want it to be. We're contingent beings. We're suffering with all kinds of afflictions, perplexities, the perpetual realization that our lives are anything than perpetual. We always realize that perpetually we're nothing like perpetual. But He still meets us right there in the depths of the sea, in the belly of the fish. And He causes the grave to continue to spit us out. He continues to make our fragile and contingent existences as a preparation for that indestructible life that He bestows upon us. We receive His life as we are united to Him in His death. And so as with Christ, so also our eternal life is given and guaranteed, but it comes only through the cross. The womb of the fish for Jonah was both the womb of death, but also the womb of life. For he came out of that womb, out of the fish, to fulfill that for which God had called him to do. Jonah was a type and a shadow of Christ, who was also 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. Christ, who also unites us to Himself and brings us out of the depths of the belly of the fish unto renewed life. And so in the New Testament, Peter speaks of this when he preaches his first sermon right after or during Pentecost. So he says, as we read, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in our midst, as yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." It has been God's definite plan from all eternity to appoint a grave for His Son. And so sinful man freely betrayed, condemned, tortured, crucified, and killed Him. The Jews handed Him over. The Romans hung Him on a cross. But we all crucified Him because it was our sins that He took upon Himself, our sins that nailed Him to the cross. Jesus did not reject God or His commandment like Adam did. He was not a rebellious man like Jonah was, and like all of us are very often. But He was the perfect man attested by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through Him. But the gates of Sheol could not hold Him back. The Lord of lights, the creator of the universe, cannot be held down by death. He cannot be contained by darkness. The grave cannot keep him down. And so Peter says, God raised him up, losing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. And then he says, quotes David, writing the Psalms. David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before him, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. And so as Peter preaches his Pentecost sermon to those who marveled at the 120 disciples who were gathered in the upper room and now were publicly proclaiming God in the tongues of every people and tribe and nation, he points out that God's inspired word had promised that he would not see his not allow his Holy One to see corruption. David wrote the Psalm, Psalm 16, and David was the anointed prophet, priest, and king of Israel, and yet David was in a grave. And so Peter reasons that either God's promises are false, the very prophet that says you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption is rotting in the grave, so maybe God's promises are false, or else everything that God said through David, everything that David said, it was really the Holy Spirit speaking through David concerning that ultimate prophet, priest, and king to come, the Holy One who is both God Himself and the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so Peter shows his hearers that Christ is the fulfillment of that promise of resurrection that had been given even in the Old Testament. And so he says, brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and he was buried, and his tomb is here with us. He's there in a tomb, in a grave, to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on the throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, Peter says, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up. And of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend to heaven, but David himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And so Peter says, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He is not in the grave anymore. And so Jonah was vomited by the fish onto the beach, and yet Jonah remained a sinful man, prophet of God as he was, and he eventually had to die. But Christ rose out of the belly of Sheol, and he broke the bars of death as the stone was rolled from the mouth of the grave, and he resurrected victoriously and gloriously, never to die again. This same Christ who lived in humiliation, taken upon himself all the limitations of human nature, suffering rejection, persecution, and ultimately death, and yet loving perfectly, loving God perfectly, His Father perfectly, loving His neighbor perfectly, even His enemies perfectly, the one who cries from the tree, from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This same man, God the Father, exalted to the highest throne of the highest heaven, now, not only as the eternal Son, whom he had always been, but also as the God-man who reigns over all creation. God did not allow his Holy One to see corruption. Now, we also continue in our own lives to experience the weeping of Good Friday and the darkness of Holy Saturday. But Good Friday and Holy Saturday, No matter how much they continue to happen in our lives every day, they will, and indeed they must, give way to the glory of Easter Sunday. So we read in verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized.'" Be baptized. "Die with Christ under the waters of the flood. Go to the grave with Him, and He will lift you up and bring you out of the grave with Him as well. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord your God calls to Himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, went down to the grave, and came out of it with Christ. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And so, beloved, our baptism, our own baptism, has drowned the old man, dead in sins, and has brought the new man, created in the image of Christ, who is the image of God, the icon of God, as the original language says, has brought the new man out of the depths into new eternal life. And yet this new life that we have received is always a presence and at the same time a longing for. It is always an already and yet a not yet. Always an arrival at the heavenly city, heavenly Zion, and yet the continuous pilgrimage towards it. We die daily, and Christ brings us up from the depths of the grave daily with Him. This is because the final death for us has been abolished. Death is swallowed up in victory, Paul says. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, Paul says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Paul says, "My beloved brothers, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Your labor is not in vain, your pain is not in vain, and your defeats and your graves are the very things that Christ uses to bring you down with Him and up with Him, because there is resurrection available for us, not only on the last day when all sin will be dealt with and all the tears will be wiped away from our faces, but resurrection is something that is given to us every day in Christ Jesus, so that with God there is always the possibility and the reality of renewal, of forgiveness, of turning from sin, of healing, of healing hearts, of healing relationships, of healing lives, even when things look as dark as they can be. It is that hope of resurrection that gives flesh and that gives bones to our faith. We hope not only because God said so, although that's sufficient, but also because He has already given us the very seal and guarantee of His promise by raising Christ from the dead, and through Christ given us the Holy Spirit. Raising Christ from the dead is a pattern for all those who are united to Christ through faith. And so as Easter approaches, Easter's yet not here. We have 3 weeks to go. This already and not yet, we vividly remember not only that our ultimate Easter is surely coming without fail, but we still must wait for it and receive it daily from Christ. Christ has been raised from the dead, never to die again, sitting in glory in heaven until all of His enemies are made His footstool. And we, on the other hand, have been raised spiritually through faith, and we still await that consummation of our eternal resurrection. We have been, like Jonah, saved from the flood. And we have been, like Jonah, vomited up onto the beach of God, so that now, under the favor of God, we might make our way up unto the heavenly Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. And yet, we are already there. Especially when we gather together to partake of His banquets. When we gather together to eat of His flesh and to drink of His blood, this is the kingdom, this is the banquet of the kingdom. The heavenly Jerusalem comes right here to us as we worship Him. Even as we're pilgrims, we are there, especially when we gather together to partake of this kingdom, which Christ said, I will not partake of this until I eat with you in the heavenly kingdom. The heavenly kingdom is already given us prolectically right here in Christ until that day that it's finally consummated. Here and now, we partake of His kingdom, of His body, of His blood, of His presence, of His resurrection. Now, through the word and sacraments, God gathers His church and nourishes us, even as we still have to live a constant death until that day when all tears will be wiped from our eyes. We know that God, who appointed the fish to spit out Jonah back into life, and God who raised Christ from the dead, is the God who is in the business of bringing light out of darkness and life out of death in our own lives. He restores minds and hearts. He has given us hope. He restores relationships. He provides for the needy. He restores marriages. He gives purpose to lives that seem to have no purpose. He gives hope when there seems to be no hope. And most importantly, He is the God who has forgiven our sins and has promised to take us up with Him forever. It is through this hope, based on His infallible promise, that we are now able, as Peter says, to save ourselves from this crooked generation as He continues to gather His church. Let us confidently then, brothers and sisters, continue our journey back from rebellion to the very city of God, for we rejoice that in every way salvation belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.